His name is Chris Matthews. You know him as the host of Hardball on MSNBC. He's also got the syndicated Chris Matthews Show. He's actually coming to Missouri tomorrow night to be the keynote speaker at the Black Tie Gala Celebration Dinner for the 60th anniversary of Winston Churchill's famous Iron Curtain speech on the campus of Westminster University, and that's out in Fulton, Missouri. And since he's coming to the state tomorrow, I thought we'd get him on here this afternoon and talk a little bit. Hi, Chris. How are you?
You're great to have me on. Thank you.
It's my pleasure. How do I know this isn't Daryl Hammond?
He's good, isn't he?
He's very good.
I sometimes watch him, and I find myself imitating him, imitating me. He's so good.
Does it bother you when he does that?
No, because the way he's done it, I mean, in the beginning I was a little more daffy, but lately he's done me almost like Jack Benny, enjoying the ensemble around me rather than being ridiculous like the people around me. He's upgraded me.
Yeah, that's very true. Actually, he's changed it from a caricature of you to caricatures of the wackos and let you react to him.
Yeah, like Zell Miller and people like that.
Yeah.
I got to thank Zell Miller for his performance when he almost challenged me to a duel that night at the Republican convention.
Yeah, you never took him up on that, did you?
No, in fact, I told the people around here, don't brag, don't talk it up. You never know how these things escalate. You never know. Next thing I'll be invited to meet him at dawn somewhere.
Speaking of escalating, let's talk about some big issues in the news today, including the president over in India, nuclear power, nuclear technology. Is this a good idea?
Well, you know, we've grown up with nuclear weaponry in the world, and we've been lucky to grow up in a world where there was the United States basically having most of it, the Soviet Union, with all its evil, being responsible enough not to use it because of mutually assured destruction. So, and this is something Churchill understood way back in the early 50s, and also Malenkov, who was the Soviet leader at the time, that neither side's going to use it on the other side for fear of being blown up itself. And so that was a great safety situation. But now we have countries like Pakistan and India and maybe Iran soon. Israel certainly already has one. And people that aren't necessarily governed by stable leaders. And you never know when somebody's just going to go tell the guy in the basement how to push the button, and that's the tricky part we live with. It's more than tricky, but India is probably a peaceful country with regard to everybody in the world except Pakistan.
Yeah.
And therefore, you have that strange, strident rivalry between the two of them. Of course, you have Israel in a standoff, I guess, forever against the Arab world right around it. And they use, they have a nuclear weapon. They don't admit it, but they've got one to protect themselves in case of an assault. The one thing that might save us from a use of nuclear weaponry, which is what we all worry about, is that these countries are so close together that if you were to be an Arab country or an Iranian country and government and lob one into Tel Aviv, God help us, it would kill one hell of a lot of Arabs because everybody's so close together there. So Maybe that will save us. Just the fact that people are too close together to use these weapons.
Should we also worry about nuclear technology leaving that part of the world and coming here in a suitcase?
Well, there's different kinds of bombs. Of course, there's the suitcase bomb, a real nuclear device, which would be horrendous. Dirty bombs, radioactive material might be dangerous and might pollute a certain part of a sidewalk. NERV and all those other gases might be a little bit dangerous. And I mean by the terms of mass destruction. But you're right, the dangerous possibility is that some former Soviet engineer who's looking for a buck sells a small device that he has access to for $1 million or whatever, and he gets his pension out of it, and some nut gets the bomb and blows us up at Grand Central Station somewhere, or at a Super Bowl game. And that would be a nuclear reactive device, and that's, of course, the worst-case scenario.
Absolutely. What do you think of the recent events in Iraq? Are we on the brink of perhaps losing things over there, or is this an incredibly crucial time?
To be honest with you, I've always been a skeptic, if not an outright critic of that war, because I think that James A. Baker III, who was the former Secretary of State, and Brent Scowcroft, General Scowcroft, who was National Security Advisor to the first President Bush and the first President Bush, all warned us that, of course, we could go in there and overrun the country. We did that. It was very fast. But once we got in there, we were going to open up that old division between those two sides, and eventually the term I think Jimmy Baker used was we'd be sucked into the middle of that civil war that would start. And things take a while to happen, but it looks like that's happening, that these two sides don't like each other. The Sunnis, who have only 20% of the population, do not want to live under the boot of the majority Shia, and they're willing to fight it. And by the way, I talked to one general, a very well-known general, you see him on MSNBC a lot, who off-camera told me he thinks within a year and a half the minority Sunnis, who were once loyal to Saddam Hussein will have regained control of the country, and we're going to have Sunni rule again. So there's a lot of possibilities over there, and what people tell you on television is not necessarily their best estimate. They sometimes say the careful thing,
and
which I have to deal with every night, trying to get people to say what they tell me in the back room.
Yeah, you know, you do such a good job of stopping people in the middle and saying, you know what, you're not answering the question, but night after night, Chris, how frustrating is your job?
Well, some people are remarkably honest. I'm not saying they're overall better than other people, but I like them more, and you probably do too. When they, you know, that's a good question, Chris or Paul. Yeah, I think that is a problem. And they make that admission, or they say, you know, I don't know the answer to that question, or, you know, I'm worried I may be wrong here. I love it when politicians say, you know, I thought this. I've been thinking about it, watching things develop here, and I think a better bet is that this is going to happen.
Yeah.
And I think everybody sticks to their guns. I mean, I do it. Everybody does it. Sticking to your guns is easy. But actually, honestly, you know, Barry Goldwater, I hear, was the last senator in the United States Senate in the history of the Senate to honestly change his mind on the Senate floor. When somebody said, you know, if 18-year-old men are going to be forced to go into combat as draftees, why the hell can't they buy a bottle of beer? And he said, good point, and changed his position.
Hmm.
So, but that happens so rarely. And what these guys do, so I remember during the O.J. case, and that's a tricky case, obviously, but all during it I'd be interviewing lawyers. And on the air, they'd all be saying, well, you got to assume his innocence, and, you know, there's no real evidence here, and it's all circumstantial. The minute they'd get off the air, they'd say, of course, the guy's guilty as hell. You know, they'd all be the, they'd be just so completely 180 off the air from what they thought, on what they were doing on the air is obviously advertising their good services as defense attorneys.
Right. And
so they damn well, and they weren't doing the show for nothing, so they're not going to tell you the guy's guilty. Of course, my favorite question to criminal attorneys is, did you ever have an innocent client? Which is always a great question because they always do that kind of canine, their head tilts. Now, that's a good question. Did I ever have it in it? You mean you really didn't do it? Oh, let me think about that.
Yeah, because that's not their job.
Well, that's not their job, and they probably don't have any innocent clients.
But you know what? You're right. I've had Johnny Cochran and Barry Scheck and Alan Dershowitz and all those guys from O.J.'s defense team on. And on the air, they will not say anything against what was, you know, their interest.
Common sense. They will go on. They will give you all the formalities of innocence or proven guilty, which is fair enough. But they'll actually suggest that they believe he didn't do it, that they really think he didn't do it. You get him off the air and says, guy, give me a break.
What do you think of the Katrina fallout of the last few days? There's all this bickering now about, I've got this video of Bush, I've got this video of Governor Blanco, I've got, you know.
Again, it's which way you're looking at it. If you look at it from the president's point of view, his press secretary, we had him on last night, Trent Duffy, he said the president, when he said, I had no idea, or no one ever imagined it was going to be over, that the levees were going to break or be overtopped or whatever. You know, he was only talking about that Monday morning, right before they did break. He wasn't talking about the 2 or 3 days before the hurricane hit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's possible. It's a hard argument to make that he only meant that day. Nobody expected Monday morning for the levees to break Monday afternoon or something. You know, Monday at noon. I just think it's a permanent problem for him because I think the worst thing you can say about the president, not on policy or anything or even goodwill or anything, is he seemed to be asleep at the switch. The fact that he had to have a DVD shown on the airplane to give him an update on what had been on television, to have him the other day say that he didn't have situational awareness, he didn't know what was actually going on the ground, and they had to watch TV, basically, to find out what was going on the ground, and the fact that Shepard Smith and Cooper, Anderson Cooper and the our guy, Brian Williams, were all aware of what was going on from the scene, and he wasn't. Well, that's a hell of an admission.
Yep.
And I don't think it helps them to keep talking about it, and I'm sure. You know, I'm not a Bush hater, one bit. I like him when I'm with him. I think it's a fine family, and I root for them, but I think on this one he lost. I think it's a bad one for him.
Now, you know politics, and I don't, and I see his poll numbers going down. I saw one this week he was under 35%,
yeah.
Something like that, just incredibly low.
CBS polls way down, yeah.
Yeah, and yet the Democrats seem to be doing nothing.
They're nothing. But, you know, I was talking to a Democratic congressman the other day who said, you know, the Republicans took over the Congress in 1994, and they didn't really. It really was that Mrs. Clinton, Hillary Clinton, blew it on the health care, and they just couldn't stand the Clintons in 1994, and they made something of a comeback. But it's usually you vote against in American politics. I hate to be negative, but most people say, I can't stand what this party's doing. I'm throwing them out. That's what happened after Watergate. It happened after the first couple of days of the Clinton administration, a couple of years. And, you know, whenever they get nervous about Social Security or what the Republicans are doing, they vote Democrat. Whenever the Democrats mess it up, they vote Republican. We're constantly being hopeful that the other party can do a better job. And, you know, I look at these numbers, my bet is the Democrats grab the House and maybe the Senate this fall.
Wow.
I know. I bet that. I don't base any of this business on snapshots. Right now, they can't do it. I look at the trend line. Every month that passes since 9/11, this president is less popular. If you want to just look at the polls and save money and predict them, just look at that trend line. I studied economics at Chapel Hill, and all you do is study that trend line. That trend line is consistent, and it's always going down. And that means he's going to have a very bad situation in November, it looks like. What good news is going to come out of Iraq? I mean, just logically, what could be the good news?
I don't see any.
The economy's not terrible. It's not, you know, the market's up to 11. I just looked at 11,000 on MS. I mean, it's not terrible. It's not being distributed well. A lot of the people at the top are getting most of the profits and all the advantages of productivity, unfortunately. The working stiff is not getting any action or any increase in lifestyle. But, you know, the economy's not in the dumps yet.
Isn't it ironic?
One thing's changing, though.
Yeah.
The loss of industrial jobs. You know this in Missouri. I just heard a big report about Erie, Pennsylvania. Anywhere in the old industrial part of the country, the heartland of this country, there have been a tremendous loss in jobs. Now, look at autos. People really get scared when you grow up with a factory down the street that has employed your dad, your cousin, or even your wife, and your kids want to work there, and it closes. And I think that's going to be the one hard to take for President Bush, because I think he's gotten a lot of Reagan Democrats voting for him this last election. And I think... I get a feeling that's going to really hurt.
We got a plant right here.
It's the old Groucho Marx line. Are you going to believe me or your lying eyes?
Yeah.
If you see the plant closed, nobody's going to tell you things are good.
We got a plant right here in suburban St. Louis in Hazelwood. 3,000 people are going to be out of a job Ford closes that down.
Years of being in politics, I know the sensitivity of Missouri to trade and to industrial change and how tough it is out there and how tough it's been since the World War II. And, you know, it's interesting that I know all this stuff in my head. Missouri voted for Ike the first time in 52 because he's a war hero.
Yep.
They didn't like the way the country was going economically. They voted for Stevenson the second time.
Mm-hmm.
But that, the only State of the Union to do that.
You're coming to the state tomorrow to do this speech at Westminster.
High dinner with a big crowd. I'm a Churchill nut. I'm an absolute believer in the guy. I think he was wonderful and courageous. And I'm going to give I've been working on this speech for a long time. It's a long, prepared speech about what we can learn from this guy, what young people especially can. And the main message is, I don't care how old you are, be willing to stand alone. When everybody else is going the other direction and you believe something, stick to it. And that's what he taught us.
I don't think it would be wrong to call Churchill a statesman. Who gets that title today? I think I stumped
McCain.
Him.
I think McCain.
Oh, yeah?
I think he's working at it. If his health holds, look out. He's going to be tough to beat.
Wow.
That's what I think.
All right. Hey, when you
I think Missouri would be perfect. I think he's going to carry some Democrat states. Like, I would think he would do very well in Pennsylvania against Hillary, for example, if she's the nominee. I think he could pick up Michigan. He could pick up a couple states that Republicans don't normally take.
Let me tell you something right now. If the Democrats make Hillary their nominee in 2008, they're pretty much giving away the election and saying we don't really have anybody in our party. And why don't we just say any Republican come up and? I mean, I think Rick Santorum could beat Hillary.
Oh, somebody just called her. I'm sure he won't. He's a major columnist for a major magazine, but I know he won't say this on television. He calls her Dukakis in a dress.
Yeah, yeah.
That's pretty rough.
I think it's true, though. I think it's
true.
We'll
talk.
All right, Chris. Thanks for your time.
Thank you so much for having me on.
My pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Chris Matthews from MSNBC, the Hardball show that he does every evening, and also got that syndicated Chris Matthews show that's on the weekends. He'll be out in Fulton, Missouri. Isn't that the town where the principal told the high school students they couldn't put on the production of The Crucible? I'm pretty sure that's it. Chris should ask him about that when he's out there this weekend doing his black tie dinner for the 60th anniversary celebration of the famous Iron Curtain speech that Winston Churchill gave here in Missouri in 1946, just at the beginning of the Cold War. Chris Matthews on the Paul Harris Show. It's News Talk 1120 KMOX.